Our first reading this morning is Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 to 8. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit.
So today, on this final day in the season of creation, we end focusing on the forest, the trees, all the plant and wildlife that fill the forest, and it seems an appropriate theme for Oregon. So listen to this second reading from the second creation story. It's found in Genesis 2. In this text, after creating the earth and the heavens, God created a human, and then God planted a garden full of trees. So listen for God's word to you from Genesis chapter 2, verses 4 through 9. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, when no plant of the field was yet in the earth, and no vegetation of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was no one to till the ground. But a stream would rise from the earth and water the face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there God put the man whom God had formed. Out of the ground, the Lord God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This is the word of the Lord. While preaching one of my first sermons in my new call to a church in Albuquerque, New Mexico, this was, 19 years ago now, I unwittingly stirred up a small controversy regarding trees. State trees, to be exact. The text that morning was from 1 Samuel, the story of the anointing of David to be king of Israel. David came from a family of 8 sons. He was the youngest. He was not a tall, commanding statesman or a warrior. He was young and small, a shepherd boy. God's choice of David over his 7 older and taller brothers was not an obvious choice. It was unexpected, a reversal of the natural order. This part of the sermon was not controversial. Here is where it all went wrong. I made the fatal error of comparing the state tree of California, my birth state, whose tree is the coastal redwood, to that of New Mexico, my new home, whose state tree is the pinon pine. By the way, the redwood is the tallest tree in the world, standing up to 400 feet tall, 100 feet wide, and growing 2 to 10 feet a year. The pinon pine is a slow-growing tree which reaches between 15 and 35 feet tall. Rather than making the redwood a winner in some competition between state trees, what I was trying to do was to point out that the pinon pine is perfect for its high desert environment. It was supposed to be a reversal. The scrubby little pinon pine is like David, the shepherd boy, the immature younger brother, who was God's surprising choice to be king of Israel. I was trying to say that the piñon pine is a pretty great tree, just like David was a pretty great king. Unfortunately, I didn't sell it very well, at least in the opinion of one critic. So when I came into work the following Tuesday, there was an anonymous yellow post-it on my church office door that said, "At least during the war, World War II, I'm assuming, piñon pines fed people." That is true. That really did happen. That was the only anonymous note that I received while serving at that church, and I still feel bad that someone completely misunderstood what I was trying to say. The church staff laughed it off, warning me that Californians were not very popular in New Mexico at the time, and that bad feeling extended to California's state tree, apparently. So I have tried to learn from that experience, and I have never, ever had a negative thing to say about Oregon's state tree, which is the Douglas fir, in case you didn't know. Trees are important to us. Many people have big feelings about trees. Tell me about your favorite childhood tree, the one you climbed, the one under whose branches you played, the one whose fruit you picked and joyfully ate. When I lived in Indiana, I had a big maple tree in my yard, and it put on a beautiful show every fall, and then it dropped all its leaves, and I spent hours raking them up. One time, I was raking in the front yard, raking all the leaves into a big pile, and as I finished, I noticed a group of little boys hovering on the edge of my yard, like they were mustering up the courage to speak. And finally, one of them came near and asked if they could please, please, please jump in my leaves. What choice did I have? I had to say yes, because I remember the joy of jumping in the leaves at my great aunt's house when I was a child. Trees matter to us. Some trees are especially sacred to us, and when they are harmed, it is devastating. I read a recent story about a lawsuit in Maine where a woman is suing her neighbors for poisoning her trees because they wanted a clear view of the ocean near their house and her trees were in the way. And apparently this is not unique. It's happening all over the country in increasing numbers. People are poisoning or cutting their neighbors' trees when they get in the way. Communities, which are unprepared for these sorts of environmental crimes, are having to create tougher laws to punish those who do that and to try to prevent it from happening in the future. Trees figure prominently in our lives, but they figure prominently in Scripture too. From the beginning to the end, from Genesis to Revelation, there are trees. After people and God, trees are the third most common living thing mentioned in the Bible. And not just trees in general either. Specific trees show up in biblical stories. Palm, acacia, oak, cedar, willow trees, sycamore, fig, olive, pomegranate trees. Hundreds of references to trees and forests. In the second creation story in Genesis 2, God created the earth and the heavens, then God created a human, and then God planted a garden of trees. The story mentions no other vegetation, only trees. Verse 9 says, "The Lord God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food." God created trees for beauty and for provision. Biblically, trees represent God's power and God's presence, as well as God's goodness. Humans are encouraged to be like trees, to be strong and steady, growing deep roots. In the reading from Jeremiah, which Tom just read, "Those who trust in the Lord shall be like trees planted by water, sending out roots by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes. In the year of the drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. Be like trees, in other words. There is a game we used to play in high school youth group. It's called Surreal. So if we were to play it here, I would silently choose a person in this room, and all of you would ask me questions to try and guess the name of the person chosen. But you have to ask your questions in a surreal fashion, such as, if this person was a tree, what kind of tree would they be? And I would respond, a pinyon pine. And hopefully you would know exactly who I was talking about. So I'll ask you, if you were a tree, what kind of tree would you be? And going deeper, which tree might be your spiritual role model? A redwood. I totally agree, Elsa. Beautiful choice. Have you heard of forest bathing? It's a concept that's been around forever, but it became very popular in Japan in the 1980s. So think for a moment what it's like when you visit a forest, any forest. I've been to visit the redwoods 3 times in my life, and I would guess that many of you have been there also. So here's what I've seen and experienced in the redwoods. Entering a stand of redwoods is like entering a cathedral. Everything and everyone gets quiet and hushed. The redwoods visitors look up, 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 trying to see the tops of the trees. There's a compulsion to get as close to a redwood as possible, to stand near it, to touch it, and of course, to hug the tree, stretching your arms as far as possible around the tree's trunk. And all the while, visitors are smelling the unique scent of the redwood forest because the air is so fresh and clean and fragrant. Visitors cannot help but feel awe and wonder when surrounded by these gigantic trees. And peace, it is very peaceful because a stand of redwoods is like a cathedral. It is sacred and holy. And that is forest bathing. It happens when all your senses are open to the experience. It is slow and intentional and relaxing. There are no screens, no technology present. It is just you open to the surrounding beauty of nature. Scientists believe that because humans spent so much of human history living in nature, that we now have a biological need to be in nature. It is natural then that we connect so easily to nature's beauty. It is also completely natural that we find God in nature. There are, of course, measured scientific benefits to forest bathing. Spending time in the forest strengthens the immune system. It lowers blood pressure. It stabilizes blood sugar. It helps to fight depression and lowers adrenaline. And getting close to trees spurs the relaxation response in our bodies. And the benefits can last up to 30 days. So trees and forests are good for us physically, mentally, spiritually. What a gift, then, to live in a beautiful place so close to big trees. And what a gift to have such access to the forest, such easy access to the presence of our Creator God. So if you were a tree, what kind of tree would you be? And which tree might be a good spiritual role model for you? Amen.